Welcome to our next episode of Grow with Glow. I'm really excited to introduce you to a person who I've always considered to be super sharp, very polite, but also ultra motivated. Who I'm talking about is Jill Petroff. You see, she's one of three powerhouse women that started a candle company, but not just any candle company. It's natural products, so when you burn it, you're not putting toxins into the air, and it's actually done in an eco-friendly way where it's not just good for your home, it's good in the manufacturing process. And dare I say, they ran this business up to over $100 million in annual revenues. They're kicking butt. And what's even cooler still is the lessons you'll learn in this episode about life, forgiveness, this idea of what you can do from a mistake and turn it into a positive, and ultimately just living your life with purposeful intent and having some laughs along the way like Jill does, because she runs this business with two of her best friends. She treats everyone like family. And I can tell you, she's not only a patient in my private practice, but she's also had my son Luke work for her with her son through the summer. And every minute of the day, they're having fun, they're helping people, they're listening. And the business skills you're going to get and the acumen from Jill in this conversation is second to none. I just wish we had more time, and I would love to have her back for a second interview. It's just that good. In particular, if you have daughters who have an entrepreneurial mindset, or you have daughters who have a spirit towards business, certainly get them to listen to this, because her entrepreneurial skills, she'll tell you, some of it she got from her parents and her own great upbringing, but she's quickly passing it on to her own children and to everybody who she works with. She's got these undeniable principles and rules about business, which coincidentally is how she lives her life. Everything's in alignment, everything's congruent, and I was just so stoked that she said she would sit down and do this, because I've always admired her and I always respected how she did it, but at a safe distance to kind of give her space and not make too much of it. But from an idea where they sold 5,000 candles at first batch to $100 million in sales annually, there's so much that I knew she had loaded. I just didn't know it was this much. And so again, I'd love to sit down in the future, always kind of kept it at a safe distance, just respecting her as a patient and what she came in for to help her. But man, was I excited to complete this interview, and it just left me wanting for more, as I'm sure you will get. So please enjoy a good friend, a dear friend of our family, and ultimately one of the smartest people I've had a chance to rub elbows with, and that is Jill Petroff. I give you a phenomenal entrepreneur and someone who could shape the future of your children. Please enjoy. Hey, everybody. I'm super excited because I get to sit here with one of my favorite people. This is Jill, and she is one of three owners of Sand and Fog Candle Company. Feels like you kind of came out of nowhere and have absolutely been rocking these candles, your company, the explosion. I know we talked a little bit about what some of the sales have been and the things have been, like, bottom line, hugely successful, right? So first of all, thank you for taking some time, Jill Petroff, to sit down and discuss this with me and our listeners. And thank you for sharing some of the insights.
My pleasure. Excited to be here.
I'm super stoked. So I'm going to have to calm down because I'm really pumped up.
I don't know about that.
Oh, man. So, okay. So you have two partners.
Yes.
And you are a female owned and female operated company. Is that right?
Correct.
Cool. Part of why I love that is I have two daughters, and a big thrust for this podcast, at least for me selfishly, is I love talking about performance. I love talking about health. I love talking to entrepreneurs and learning from people in business. And I think we're going to get to all of that today, which is health, performance, business, entrepreneurship. But certainly having two daughters, I love putting strong women in front of them and just saying, hey, this is what's out there, and any part of this that you can acclimate or assimilate, I want you to be exposed to it. So selfishly, again, this is my motivation having you, and I'm super excited. I have two sons, but this is really one of the reasons I want to sit down and do this. So if you wouldn't mind, take me through a little bit of the inception from the idea of Sand and Fog to where you are now.
Okay. So we started 7 years ago, and I was doing some interior design with one of my partners, and we always put candles in the houses that we designed. And I would say, like, I love a pumpkin candle, but I would never put orange in my house. I'm a super neutral person. So I'm like, I felt like there was a void in the market of, like, hey, I want a pumpkin candle, but maybe I want it in a white vessel. Because I used to buy candles, and maybe I didn't like how they looked, and I would hide them in something and burn them.
Yeah.
So I felt like, okay, I think there's a white space out there. Hmm. And so that's kind of how we started. And then Sand and Fog, the name, was when that's kind of the colors that we really liked when we were decorating houses. So that's kind of how we got the name Sand and Fog.
Cool. And just a little backstory between us. You actually designed our house and our remake. And I remember coming home a couple times and you ladies were sitting there with Jessica and going through colors. And I'm the worst at that. So when you say I don't like orange, I'm like, okay, I'll make mental note, don't like orange. Like, I mean, that's just, it's not my forte. Yeah. But I mean, we redid the whole house. We moved out for 6 months. We came back to like this new place. It was absolutely beautiful. And it was functional, which I like. We put the herringbone floor down so we could dribble basketball. And, you know, Luke and Hero can play hoops in the house, in the kitchen. It's still not allowed, but we do it. But everything that you did was functional and soft and easy. And just from living in the space that you created, you obviously knew what you were doing.
Thank you.
So from designing homes, you saw a need for a color palette with candles.
Yes. And we also wanted a candle that would kind of like add to your home decor. So like something that you would be proud to set out, not that you would have to hide. So we kind of make it when we follow home trends a lot for our candle. And so what we're seeing out in the market for like interior design at home, we incorporate it in our line.
Love it. Love it. And so what was the first candle you produced, or what was the first home or the first sale? Like, talk me through that.
So we did our 12-ounce carved candle, and I think we had like three colors, and we did like a little mini. And we sold it to TJX, which is TJ Maxx and Marshalls. We kind of had an inverted sales plan. We intentionally wanted to go to retailers who didn't come back with markdowns, who paid their bills on time. So most people like, oh, I want to go to Bloomingdale's. Well, they might buy 200 candles. We're like, no, we want to do like bulk, somebody who can buy 30,000 candles. So we kind of had an inverted mindset, but that was always the goal. To be in like a a company that pays their bills on time, no markdowns, because I used to be a buyer. So I know the downside of like a regular retailer. Okay. So they bought a few thousand, but we had to fill a container. So we took the risk and bought like 30,000. So I'm saying maybe they bought like 5,000. We brought in 30,000 units. And then like right off the bat, they sold. And so we got into like Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom Rack right away. TJX, like literally on our first order, sold. So it was just like from the get-go, we started selling things really well, and we made money our first year, which is typically unheard of.
Unheard of, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple words you said that really stood out. One, inverted sales model, and I love when people are rebels, when they go against the grain, when it's non-traditional. So it sounds like that, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. And two, when you said we took a risk.
Yeah.
Talk me through those two words, if you would, inside your business model.
I think one of the qualities an entrepreneur needs to have is risk-taking. Mm-hmm. You know, I think most entrepreneurs are not, like, safe, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you have to take a risk. So we were willing to do that. I'm naturally more of a risk-taker. And so it was just something, like, I bet on myself and I bet on my partners and I bet on the quality of our product. And I knew, as a consumer, I know what's out there. And so what we felt like we were offering that was different was a really great product at a very good value. So I felt like I could put my candles against some candle that was $70. And if you had your eyes shut, you wouldn't know the difference. So I just bet on myself. So as far as risk taking. And then I really just felt like, and times are tough when you're at like a TJX store, Nordstrom Rack. That business is good when times are good and when times are bad. And it's almost like once you start shopping there, it's hard to pay full price. You know, if you can see something at one of those stores and you can buy it for $50 and you can get the exact same thing for $200, you're more likely to at least take a peek in there and see if you can get it again for $50.
Right.
So we just have the, you know, we just want to have product that's affordable at a great value. That's worth a lot more than what the customer's paying.
Yeah. So a couple things I'm hearing you say. One is the emphasis in your voice. I hope the listeners are picking up on that, because like I bet on myself, I bet on my partners. Like if you could say double down, you would have doubled down. Yeah. But the truth is, if you wanted to do an order of 30,000 and you only had a sale ticket for 5,000, you more than doubled down, you six times up. You bought more than you needed, you produced it, you were anticipating the sale. If I were to add a word in there, it might be calculated risk.
Yeah.
Right? Like you had a sense of the market, you had a plan, it was an inverted sales model, but you knew it, and just your confidence like comes through. Like I bet on myself, I think everybody should bet on themselves.
Yeah,
and part of it is like have higher self-confidence, have higher self-esteem, because then you can fall back to that and bet on yourself. And I would rather invest in me than anybody else, right? Like you are your best investment. So I love, we're 5 minutes in and we're already cooking. But
yeah.
I knew I would get that from you. So first of all, like I'm stoked. Like we could turn this off right now and just hearing that, like bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel confident in that, well then become better.
Yeah.
Agree. Right. It's almost that be, do, have mentality. Then you need to be a better, more confident person. Let's talk a little bit about, so calculated risk, I think, is because you knew the space. And then you also mentioned, you know, the price in there. And I think if you're delivering more value than price, you can throttle it. Right.
Yeah.
So it really sounds like you knew that you were over delivering. You could put a $70 candle next to one of yours and you would beat them. And so from a value perspective, I think that's huge, which then maybe ties into the inverted sale model. So talk a little bit more about that, if you would.
Yeah. So I think like you could. So, for instance, like I used to work for Bullocks or whatever, and or like Robinson's May, and they would turn their merchandise like twice in a season. So they'd have like, you know, a 12-week supply, 26-week supply. When you go into a different retailer's, their goal is to turn on under a 3-week supply. Mm. So you're going through a lot of goods. And so you're making your money on quantity. You know, you make a smaller, like there's a saying that I like to say, would you rather make a quick nickel or a slow dime? I'd rather make a quick nickel all day long.
Mm.
You know, because how many nickels can I make while someone's making a slow dime?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the mindset that I wanted. And I also wanted to know that, okay, you know, if I'm doing a lot of business, I want to make sure I'm getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is important, cash flow. You know, as you grow the business, like all that stuff is important. So I knew that I wanted to do that. So that's kind of
huge. But you also mentioned targeting people that would pay their bills on time.
Yeah.
So target marketing your ideal client, I think, is something everybody who's listening that runs a business, works inside of a business, and someday wants to have their own. You have to have an ideal client and someone who pays their bills on time. And I love the quick nickel versus a slow dime, because in business, time kills all deals, right? And even with new businesses, you know, oftentimes we'll hear people say, you know, I'm not making money quick enough, or the cash flow isn't there. There's two sides to that. There's money and time. And so you can make $1 million in a new business. Now, if it takes you 20 years to make it, you're making 50 grand a year, you're going to die of the time it takes you to make it. Or if we can teach you to make $1 million in the first year, that time you make it. So a lot of times people think it's cash flow, but it's the quick part of the quick nickel versus the slow dime, right? Like how slow is the dime.
Exactly.
And so quick cash flow is really important. And it doesn't sound like you sacrificed your principles in doing so.
We didn't. And I think also a lot of people are tied up on their ego. Mm. Like, oh, I'm in Saks Fifth Avenue. Like, who cares? You know, if you're not making any money, who cares if you're in Saks Fifth Avenue? I don't.
Yeah.
You know?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, I think in business, there is peace where there is no ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you're profitable and the bottom line's good and you're overvaluing the product you deliver at a price less than you feel, who cares, right? And those logos, that's just ego. Peace lives outside the ego.
And I think to the whole ego thing, I think that's kind of one of our mantras, is like the customer's always right, even if they're not. Mm. You know, and it's like, you know, we try and make it as easy as possible to do business with us. You know, that's my motto. Like, I want them to, like, if they want something, I turn it around quickly. Like, I have a sense of urgency. Other people could give it a week. Meanwhile, I got the order because I turned it around quickly and executed what they wanted.
Right on.
You know, so, and it's like, it was funny because when the whole, like, women-owned thing came out, the buyers asked us to put a sticker on our candle that said, like, women-owned. And so we had it, and then, like, I read every email I get. And I got an email from a dad, and he's like, you know what, why did you have to put that on there? You know, like, really, is that, why, you know, why do you have to put that? Do you think that's going to make me buy your candle? And I thought back to my dad, who always told me, like, when I was young, he's like, you could be the president of a company. You can do anything you want. And I'm like, you know what, I really didn't think, like, it needs to be a woman. You know, like, I never felt like I got mistreated because I was a woman versus a man. So I really thought, I'm like, you know, maybe I don't need to have that on there. You know, so I really try and pay attention to the customer and see if there's validity in anything they say and not have an ego and just see, like, what can I glean from them that there might be truth in?
Oh, I love that. I think that's part of the value in social media, too, is sometimes people leave negative reviews and it's like, okay, what part of this is real and what part was just emotion? And if you can just take that step back and go, okay, I'm the owner, what can I learn?
Yeah.
Then your business is going to improve. But yeah. if you immediately get emotional back,
yeah, agree.
Then you're losing the opportunity to learn. I think that's huge. So are there stickers still on those?
No, okay. I took them off.
Okay, cool. And part of what I loved about this is women owned, women operated. But at the same time, it's not a victim mentality.
Yeah, that's what I didn't want it to be like, oh, you should, you know. Yeah, that's what I didn't want because I don't feel as a woman like I'm a victim. I feel I'm equal.
Yeah, totally. And I see that not only with what you're doing, but possibly superior in the product, superior in the delivery, in the care, in the heart, and all of that. So it's like equal or beyond. It would be my estimate of this, you know. And so talk to me a little bit about your partners and just kind of the love of what you do and who you do it with.
So I do it with two very good friends, and I feel like we're sisters. It's so funny. Whenever we're in the airports, we always get asked, are you guys sisters? You know, because, you know, similar in age, and we kind of look a little bit alike, but it's like a family, and it's like we've had hard times, you know, but we've had good times, and we're closer for it. And I'd say overall, it's been great. We try and just treat each other with respect. Like our whole thing is treat others, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. So we could have disagreements, but we do it respectfully and make sure that everything is resolved if there's any issue. But it's great. Like, I love them.
Is it important if you are brainstorming, trying to come to a conclusion that everybody shares? And even if you had a different opinion before the decision, would you say it's important after the decision, everybody gets behind it?
Yeah, it's united. Yeah. And I think thankfully we haven't had too many cases where, you know, we disagreed that we didn't end up getting all on the same page.
I've just seen it where people want to hold their opinion even after the decision's been made. Yeah. It's like, no, you need to drop that now and get behind it.
It's
so that's usually a hallmark of successful businesses, right? Yeah. You can just, again, it goes back to that ego. We just drop that and now we're moving on. Offer different perspectives. Share your insights. It's a safe place. But once we decide, we've just got to move
on. It's like marriage.
That's right. That's right.
United front.
That's it.
Yep.
And I think one of the things that's kind of come up with your candles too is a little bit of kind of the healthy element of that. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Okay. So give us like some A, B's and C's on candles, and then let's jump into where you're different.
Okay. A, B's and C's. There's a lot of talk on soy wax, coconut wax, paraffin. And to be honest, I mean, all the research that I've done is like candles are not toxic. You know, even if there's paraffin in there, it's food grade paraffin and it's okay. Like I said, we have a proprietary blend. I think a lot of it is a sales pitch as to whether like, oh, it's all coconut wax, you know, so or it's all soy or it's all X. And there's pros and cons to everything. I think the key is that you have like 100% cotton wick. That's important. There's not lead in your wick. But my personal opinion is that all candles are safe. They're deemed safe by, you know, all the regulations and stuff. And there's benefits to each blend. And that most people, to be honest, even if they said soy blend, they probably are putting something else in to help the burn or coconut wax. So that's kind of my take on
it.
Well,
I love that you're honest about it because I think even that just, you know, a lead wick.
Yeah.
I mean, lead is super toxic. So you can imagine breathing that in wouldn't be good. So a cloth wick.
Yeah, 100%
is way
cotton.
Better. Yep. Cool.
And usually, I mean, we get our wicks from the U.S. To make sure that there's, you know, it's actually cotton.
Right. Well, it's funny because I don't think people realize is that in other countries, the regulatory rationale is a whole different thing. Even when I talk to patients when it comes to surgery, if the metals have been aggregated from other countries like China, there is no regulation. And if it's not galvanized properly, you're putting heavy metals into a body if they're doing surgery. And eventually the body starts to interact and dissolve, like highly toxic scenario if that isn't. So again, if you're breathing this stuff in, I just love that you take the care and you know a lot about it. Soy's been more popular lately though, hasn't it?
Yeah, and there's also coconut that's popular. You know, there's pros and cons and it's like, you know, soy wax. Soy and soy wax are not the same. So a lot of people think soy is soy wax. It's different. But yeah, I think there's different trends in the market that come and go. And, you know, it's like having a baby. No, put your baby on your side. No, put your baby on your stomach when they sleep. So I think there's like new things all the time that change. But
And organic is a big thing too, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is it organic raise? Is it organic crop? An organic candle? Yeah. Would you say that the price reflection really equals a quality when it comes to that?
You know what? There's different – the prices fluctuate just like any marketplace. So sometimes soy will be a lot more expensive. Sometimes coconut will be a lot more expensive. It fluctuates like everything else. So yeah, that does.
Kind of going back to your business model, was there a week or a day or a deal where all of a sudden everything changed? Like, was there one turning point where you kind of walked out of that scenario and were just like, it's on?
Yeah, you know what? I think probably like our first full year, I knew we had it. I knew we had something. And it's been like, I consider it like a God story, just like a miracle, like beyond my wildest dreams. Like, I was always thinking like it would be great, but it kind of beat my expectations. But it's interesting. I'm a super competitive person. So I'll never forget. I was talking to like our finance guy, and I think we were doing 10 million at the time. And he's like, will you be happy at 12 million? And I said, not if my competitor is doing more than 20 million. You know, so yeah. I've like, somebody's above me.
Yeah.
I always want to beat that person because I feel like I have the product and the quality to do it. So it's like, I don't do well with second place if I feel like I can be first.
This is where I was hoping to get to in the interview at some point. So I'm glad we're here. Right. Just that, like, you know, accepting of second place. It's a different mindset. If you can just go, oh, I'm good here.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think in a market space, if you're new and you're first or second, that's cool. But anything below that, you've got to really look at the value and the quality. And then once you've entered the conversation, like you have a competitor, then the answer is like, no, why would I accept that?
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I call those tripwires. In business, I think there needs to be tripwires where there's a thing that just gets you out of your catatonic state. Like, you could just sleepwalk through business because I'm sure at this point the business could run itself. It'd be profitable. The people you're working with would be happy. But inside the driver, inside one of the three owners, you and your two partners, there needs to be these little tripwires from time to time. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. My problem is I feel like we can come up with so many ideas. Like, I worry about, like, do I need to be, like, in and out and just do one thing well? Because I feel like now we're getting into perfumes because we already have the fragrance houses. Mm. So we launched perfumes this past year. They're doing super, super well.
Love it.
And then we did soap because we have the fragrance houses. And those are doing well. And it's like, I feel like I have more ideas than I have time.
Yeah.
But then I also need to, like, say, okay, it's also bad if you get spread too thin. Mm-hmm. But it's like the competitor in me, like, if I can do it, I want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not a money thing, right?
No. It's not money at all.
It's the creative side, I think, that you just can't turn it off. Do you find yourself waking up at 4 a.m?
Oh, yeah. I work way too much. I'm up like 2 hours every night. I think like I start working at 6. I stop answering emails at 9. And I've worked probably 7 days a week for 5 years straight.
Wow.
I mean, the weekends I'm not full time, but I'm checking my emails because I feel like I get like 100 emails an hour. So it's like if I feel like I don't check them, then I just know what I'm going to have on Monday morning. So I try and stay on top of everything.
Is that a rule you gave yourself? No emails after 9?
I'm just a morning person. I don't know. It's because I go to bed because I'm so tired.
But what's cool is when you have those creative juices flowing, and I think people listening might understand this, like if you're sleeping in the middle of the night, you wake up and you go, oh God, did I leave the garage door open? Like, there's that subconscious mind thing that's always, it's always solving puzzles. Mm-hmm. And we know that physiologically, that's when the subconscious mind comes awake, the conscious mind goes to sleep. And so you can solve puzzles. You can wake up at 3 a.m. and be like, oh my gosh, I know the solution to our distribution problem. I know the person I should hire. And I listen to that. We call that innate intelligence in chiropractic. I think in business, it's your intuition. Spiritually, that's a message from God, whatever you want to call it. But if you're tapped into that channel, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. And that's a superpower. Yeah. And some people are like, oh, you shouldn't talk about that. No, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because when you have those thoughts that are coming and it's without the limiting beliefs, that's when I've seen businesses just take off. So if you wouldn't mind, share with me a couple that have come to you either in the last 5 years or recently.
Yeah, I do feel like kind of that's my clearest thinking because there's no other distractions. I'm not like worrying about emails. So I do feel like I take that time and it doesn't freak me out if I'm up like a couple of hours and I have like a pad next to my bed that I'll either write things on because I won't be able to get to sleep unless I like get it out because I'm worried in the back of my mind that I'm going to forget it. So I'll either send myself an email or, you know, I'll write it down. So I do feel like a lot of that's why I go to bed at 9 because I'm up in the middle of the night. But
I'm with you. I have that too. I have a pad next to my bed. Yeah. And if I don't write it down, I won't remember.
Yeah.
And if I just wait, I'll be up all night anyway, just thinking about it. So I'm like, I might as well. And I'm glad I'm not the only one that sends myself emails.
Oh, I do all the time.
Because I'll read them sometimes the next day and be like, what was I thinking? And I'm like, oh, wait, I do remember this. But like, what a great way to capture these thought flashes, right? So Talk me through the fragrance line, the soap line. You mentioned, you know, perfumes. So fragrance houses, for someone that doesn't know what that is, I think I kind of know, but give us how that relates to some of these offshoots.
Okay. So what a fragrance house does, all of any fragrance that's in your product. So we have a couple fragrance houses that we use. And you can, you know, there's ways to do fragrance. Like, you can come up with your own fragrance. You could duplicate a fragrance. Like, you don't have to recreate the wheel, which is another thing I think, like, for entrepreneurs. Some people think, like, they have to recreate the wheel. No, you know what? You don't have to recreate the wheel. Maybe just do your own version of the wheel, a better version that's not out there. So we're doing a lot of perfume, and we're doing the same thing. We're doing, you know, perfume that might cost somebody $300, and they can buy it, you know, for $15.
Wow.
Like a perfume oil. So, like, who wouldn't want that? Like, it's gone wild. We had, like, one delivery. Our buyers already placed backup orders for, like, 5 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was that great.
Wow.
And then the same thing, like, for our soap, it's, like, we follow the same scents that are in our candles. So, if, like, we already have that customer. The customer already loves Sand and Fog. So, it's like, oh, I love California Beach House. Oh, now I can get a soap, and it's the same scent.
Right.
And then it's just really great quality. Like, I feel like our standard, not to brag, but I feel like our standard is high, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, we take pride in our product, and it's like, we feel like our name is on it. And so it has to be something that I would put in my house and I'd be proud to give. I would never put something else out that I wouldn't be proud to have my name on.
Because I know you, I know that of you, but at the same time, that doesn't surprise me that it's a thread through your company. Right, that you put your name on it, you've got to be proud of it. If someone's burning this candle and they're in the bath, why wouldn't they want that in their soap too?
Yeah.
Right, like there's parallels there. Yeah. So you're kind of, it's almost like you go where there's gravity.
Yeah.
So you have these scents that are proven, people are buying. What are some of your top candle scents? What are like your top sellers?
Ocean Mist, Teakwood, Vanilla Sandalwood, Tropical Citrus.
Okay.
We also have a pet line that's called Sand and Paws, and it has an odor.
Sand and Paws.
Yeah, Sand and Paws.
Oh, cool.
And it has an odor neutralizer in it. So when you burn the candle, it can actually work in your kitchen, your bathroom, but we put it for pets. But there's something in there that actually absorbs the odor in the house. It really works.
Right on.
And so we're kind of getting into pet now. Like, now we're going to do pet wipes. And like, so it's like, I don't know, like I said, like, I have more ideas than I have time.
That's so cool. But what a great idea to neutralize like the wet dog smell in the house, right?
Yeah.
Like, so beach scents and all good, but wet dog
and
mixed in is
love,
not good.
And the pet business is a huge business. If you like Google pet business, and especially even with COVID, so many people like adopted dogs, but now people are getting married later and like their dogs are their kids. You see
That's
them pushing. How we got Santa Paws is I was at Barnes & Noble and I saw a dog in a stroller. And I was like, okay, people are crazy about their dogs. Like, I love my dog, but I'm not strolling it. But, you know, people love their dogs.
That's right.
And so I'm like, okay, I want to do something for these pet people.
I think what's key about that too is just you don't build your products just for yourself. You have an open lens.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I wouldn't put my dog in a stroller either, but no judgment if people want to do that. I get it. I my experience traveling the world, meeting people from different cultures, the one thing that seems to resonate is people are happy when they're living life on purpose, whatever their purpose is. And sometimes their kids go off to college, they're empty nesters, and you'll see people get pets.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense. They're used to caring for something else. It's a bigger purpose than self, which is a really selfless purpose. And so to be happy, they need something to nurture and care about. So I fully get it. But from a business perspective, that's a marketing angle.
Yeah.
Right? Like people will spend money on this. How important is scent and smell?
It's super important. I think the product, first and foremost, is the most important thing. Because if they pick up the candle and they don't like the scent, even if it's great quality, they're going to put it down.
Yeah.
So I think that's first and foremost. I think, you know, you can, I could have the best customer service. I could be the nicest person. But if my product isn't there and it doesn't sell, it doesn't matter.
When it comes to scent, it actually taps into a part of the brain called the olfactory system. So it's one of the oldest part of the brains. It's emotions. So there is this thing with scent and memory. So, and I've done this at workshops with people, I say, you know, put a smell of a fresh cut grass. What does that remind you of? And it's always a time in life where they're young. It's baseball, it's soccer, it's going out to play rugby, whatever the sport was, but it's like, it's a childhood memory.
Yeah.
We could put coffee grounds in front of, oh, that reminds me of my grandmother on Sundays and coffee after church or whatever the thing is. There's always a memory with it. What would you like to be associated with your candles?
You know what? I just think I feel like our candles are an inexpensive luxury where, to your point, it takes you to a different place. You've had a long day and it relaxes you, or it brings back a memory. So whatever that person needs, like, I can't tell you how many emails that we've gotten, like, you know what, this, my grandmother recently died and this was her favorite candle, and then we just send her a bunch of candles. Or, like, you know, just like we hear stories, and and the smell, to your point, evokes memories. And so that's anything to make you feel better. You know, like, oh, our California beach house, it reminds you of a vacation that you had with your family. So it's just like a little bit calm in this crazy world. And we offer it to the customer in an inexpensive way.
What you said was an inexpensive luxury. And I just thought, that's genius. I mean, that is your company to a T, if I were to simplify it. It's inexpensive luxury. It's a luxury candle. I'm sure they are luxury scents for perfumes, luxury soaps, but the price tag doesn't reflect it. So it's for everybody. And again, the way I've always known you to be is like an open lens on life. Like, all are welcome. Here's how we do it. You know, female owned and operated, but that isn't the storyline of the company. It's just who you want to be around it. And totally just, it's just super cruisy, I think. But at the same time, we start talking about like quality and product value, like you get laser focused and sharp. And I just can imagine your kids in trouble. Like, I hear that voice.
No messing around. There's things we take seriously.
Which is good. So, I mean, but on that, when it comes to smell and the olfactory system and kind of evoking emotions, we know hotels do it, luxury hotels. There's a scent associated with the Ritz-Carlton. They all use the same one, because the minute you walk in, when you get that smell, it takes you to that place. So for you to provide that, like the grandma's candles and that, I mean, it's just, but then even mixed in there, I think your heart comes through too, where you send those people candles. Like, and I know that of you, that you just do that on a routine basis. So here's this big boom in company, but you're not afraid to respond to these beautiful emails and just send something.
We get some sweet emails. We get crazies too, but we get
sweet. We all do, right? It's almost like, but I think that's good to recognize. Look, the bigger you get, the more you're going to attract all kinds. Right? And it's just as part of it. I just think, don't take it personally. You know?
Like your point, like you said, is there any truth in it? Is there anything I can learn from it? Is there anything grow from? And if not, discard it, you know? It's like, okay, I'm not receiving that. That's just crazy. Because some people, I go, wow, they have a lot of time on their hands. And then other people, I'll be like, wow, thank you. You know, that's actually helpful.
And you see the first paragraph or two is negative, and then you look at how many paragraphs they wrote. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm like, cancel. And maybe that's a good protection thing for people listening. Like, I have two phrases. Cancel's one of them. Like, I'm just not letting that in. Don't. And the other one is, that's for me. I am that. That's who I, you know, those sound bites of, that's me. That's like, I'm all in with that. Like, be accepting of that and be rejecting of this, because you have to have that, right? Like, I think it's a big part of a successful business. What are some business quotes, lines, books? What are some things that have kind of been guiding principles for you?
Like I said, I think the biggest is make it as easy as possible to do business with us. So I literally probably get, if I get my emails and I tell you I get like 100 an hour, I get back to people within an hour. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I take it really serious. I kind of say, like, how would I want someone to respond to me? And how quickly would I, if it was important to me, would I want them to get back to me? So I have that mindset. I feel like I have like a sense of urgency. I think it's important. Integrity is super, super important to me. I don't want to ever think like, oh, do I have to remember what I said because I was lying. So it's like, I tell people the truth. It's important. It's honest. You know, that's a big important thing to me. Let's see. Just I think over communication, and by that I don't mean wordy. I just mean like, I'm not a big fan of surprises. So I assume nobody else is a fan of surprises. So good news, bad news, nobody wants a surprise. I feel like, get it head on, resolve it. I think, you know, go with the flow. Like, tenacity, I think, is super important in in anything entrepreneurial, because there's going to be so many doors that close, but you have to keep going, you know, flexible. You can't be rigid, you know, oh, that didn't work. Okay, I need to move on. Decisive, you know, make decision. There's, you know, I'd rather make slightly not a perfect decision than wait 10 years to make a perfect decision.
Which goes back to your time. Right. Yeah. An imperfect, quick decision can be redirected, recalculated. You can course correct. a slow, drawn-out first decision, oftentimes with a business plan, isn't going to be correct anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
you've chewed up time. Time's a big thing that I know you get it, right? Mm-hmm. What would be maybe a tough lesson you had to learn or something that was a failure but ripe with information?
Mm-hmm. Well, when COVID happened, we had $5 million canceled overnight.
Wow.
Because the stores all closed.
Right.
And I'm like the eternal optimist. I'm like, oh, everything's be fine. That shook me. Hmm. And I remember like sitting outside with Chris. And I'm like, once this gets, I sell these goods, I'm done. This is like too much. And he's like, what? That is so not like you. Right. You know, so I think perspective is important. And that's something that I learned. Like I kind of like now if something bad happens, I go, what's the worst thing that can happen from that? Okay, that. Okay, what's the worst happen if that happens? And then I walk my way through it. And it's usually going to be fine. Like, yep. This isn't brain surgery. And that's right. kind of the perspective I do. You know, I'm not healing cancer. Mm-hmm. I'm selling candles. You right. know, mistakes are going to happen. Do my best to correct anything. But perspective now. I'm not mastering it because I know I work too much. So my perspective is not perfect, but it's a work in progress.
But humble, I would say, is also an attribute. I think what I'm hearing you say is you consider second and third order consequences when a lot of people don't. If I make this decision, what other bad thing can happen? Or if these sales are canceled, what was the next step in the process? And usually when you walk yourself through the worst case scenario, you go, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And
it's perspective, yeah.
And then you start going uphill again as opposed to like, oh, it's all falling apart.
Yeah.
So we got to give Chris an applause for that one. Like, well, that's not you. Like, this conversation's over, right?
Like, I'm like, I know, I'm sorry.
When Jill's back, let me know, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, but I love that because I think there's a lot of people in my space that have said things like COVID didn't affect us at all. I go, really? I think it affected everybody, right? There was that initial shock. There was this thought that it would be 2 weeks, not 2 years because they lied to us. And that kind of kept
10 days.
That's right. You're right. You know, it's 2 weeks, it's 2 months, it's 2 years. It's like, wow. So you find yourself in a space where you couldn't anticipate.
Yeah.
What were some of your guiding principles then?
I think it was just like, you know what? We'll figure it out, you know? And so, you know, we talked to the factory owner, and that's where relationships come in. Like, we believe in having great relationships. And so I would say relationships are super important.
Yes.
So I, you know, got on the phone with him. He was fine. He's like, Jill, I've lived through a lot. You know, it's going to be okay. Cool. And so having those relationships. And then what's crazy is it opened back up, and it was our best year ever. Because then everyone was home and burning candles.
Right.
Yeah.
Huge lesson there, right? Sometimes in the darkness, you got to just stay in the game. Mm-hmm. I think anybody who's owned a business, at some point that becomes a mantra. Like, just get up and play another day.
Yeah.
Let's just play one more day.
Yeah.
And even the metaphor in business, because business is a sport. It's an intellectual sport. But the metaphor is we're just going to play.
Yeah.
We're going to make candles. I'm going to adjust spines. We're going to play time. And the metaphor is this is a sport, and that means we get to go have fun, you know? And so how much fun, it's going to change day to day, but sometimes the hardest thing is taking a thumping or losing a big game and then getting back up to go to the next one. But you have to just show up.
Exactly. Right?
And then through that, all of a sudden, the best things happen, right? So through those tough times, I always say it's not in your way, it's on your way.
Yeah.
It's making you a better person as you go through it. So now we're on the other side of things, and is it okay if I share some numbers?
Sure.
We are over $50 million in sales. Mm-hmm. We are well over that. Mm-hmm. So you've taken this from a 5,000 candle order, and I'm being modest with those numbers, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If we have a first order of 5,000 candles, you go, I'm betting on me, I just ordered 30,000, and here we are 7 years later. Mm-hmm. With over $50 million in sales, what's the future look like?
That's a great question. We ask ourselves all the time. I don't know. Like, I feel like I have so many ideas. And so right now we're in the stage where we're layering staff so that I can execute those ideas. Because I try and ask myself, what is my time best spent at? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, where my skill sets, like, is visionary. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I don't need to be in the day-to-day minutia if I can train somebody to do that. And so that's kind of what we're doing right now, is trying to get some staff. And then let me do the visionary stuff. And let me say, like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. And, you know, get really strong support under us so that we can grow it. When we called her, when we did our company, we did it Sand and Fog Home. So I think in the back of my mind, I thought it was going to be bigger than just candles.
You knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. even within the title, right? You gave yourself flexibility.
Yeah.
There's some lateral space there to fill it in, and, and sure enough, you're doing it, right? So you have some of your friends that you work with?
Yeah, I do. We even have your son helping us. right. Yeah. We take all the help we can get.
That's it.
We're a lean and mean team. But yeah, we have like local friends that work for us. So it's fun. You know, it's like when you're working this much, you have to have a good time because it's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we try and surround ourselves with really smart people, you know, that have different skill sets than each of us. My partners and I, we all took this personality test, and it was interesting. We all had very different skill sets, which we didn't know when we started.
Right.
And we all kind of naturally fell into what our skill sets were. It was really interesting.
Huge, great foundation, right? And then you've also got people that work at the company with you that you've been friends with for years, right? So I always think, you know, part of your working crew is, it's like a second family. You spend a lot of time with people. And so having resolutions, having, you know, congenial conversations, I think are really big. What's been something that's kind of helped you shape the culture or solidify your culture when you're at work? Are there any activities, any outings, or anything that you've done? Or maybe it's a thing you do on a weekly basis that you just feel like kind of nurtures that over communication, that connectedness, those kind of things that you mentioned.
You know, we all kind of, I think that's actually something that my husband told me we could do a better job of. But when we go into the office, we all are in the office one day a week together. Otherwise, like some of us, we have two different offices. So some of us at Lido and some of us are Huntington Beach, but we all have lunch together every week. Like we just buy everyone lunch so that we're all there kind of chatting. We do like outings, like we'll get together for happy hour and dinners and stuff, but we talk so much throughout the day, honestly. Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like that's probably a weakness. We could do better on that. I do think like a weakness of mine is work, and, you know. We have fun, but I could do better.
But I commend it. Even one day a week, a lot of times people don't realize when you have different roles and you're filling and everybody's going separate directions. I just think that space is key. And I've heard it described, having one break when everybody's off is really good for team building. So I think you're inherently doing that where, hey, everybody's having lunch at the same time because you're probably going to sit with different people at different times if you're all on break. If you have assigned breaks and you're...
No, we're all together on break. We're all together.
Which is cool. Yeah. And then, you know, talking and chatting a bunch is a good thing because it just kind of all gets out there.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's huge as far as building that culture. And then the other 6 days a week, everybody can kind of go separate directions, but just coming back together.
And I think also it's just important to treat people with like kindness and respect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, invariably mistakes will happen. And it's like, you know what? They know it's serious. You don't have to like beat them up over it, but it's like perspective, like, okay, next time we won't make that happen, you know, but treat them nicely. So you know, that they feel respected and valued.
Yeah. Dignity.
Yeah.
Right. With your coworkers. Yeah. Dignity is a big thing. Even if people quit, we always say it's important to let them leave with their dignity.
Yeah.
You know, if this isn't the right place, cool. Not the time to coach your employees.
Yeah.
Like the day they quit. Well, let me tell you what you could have done better. And I've had people, what can I do better? I go, you're perfect. This just isn't the space for you. Yeah. It's not working out. Well, what can I do for my next job? You're an amazing person. Like, don't coach on the way out and allow people to have their dignity. We buy lunch every Monday for my team. And it's the same thing. It's like, what do we get out of it? It's like, I don't know, but I would hate to imagine this space without it.
Yeah.
Without some time together and breaking bread and just kind of being in that space. I think that's huge.
Yeah.
What things do you like to do outside of Sand and Fog? What have been passions of yours that kind of just keep that childlike enthusiasm burning? Whether it's your kids, your marriage, church, what is it?
Gosh, my family. I'd say I love my family. All my kids are like getting older now, but I just love them so much. They're a priority. And it's so funny, even with like this whole Sand and Fog thing, it's not how I identify myself. Like I don't, like even though thank God it's like been amazingly successful, that's not where my identity lies. Like I still kind of see myself more family is where my identity. My faith is super important to me. My husband, we're going to be married 30 years in October.
Awesome.
I still love him dearly. I'm still happy to be with him. Which is an accomplishment these days.
Yeah.
I love sports, competitor me. I loved when my kids did sports. I'm liking pickleball. I don't have the time.
Okay.
But I like it.
Okay.
I'm starting to take some golf lessons, although I don't really see that in my future because who has 4 hours? Not me.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
But he wants me to. So
golf is fun, but to me, it's like, you've got to be with three people you like. And to have the 4 hours when really it turns into 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm good with nine holes. Yeah. And the truth is, I'm not even good at nine holes. I'm good for about four.
Yeah, that's how I'd be like, I'll come on the cart for the last 2 minutes and we'll get dinner.
Totally.
Like, that's kind of what my idea of fun is.
Totally.
But I'm doing it for them.
And so you mentioned being a competitor. What was your sport?
Tennis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where pickleball comes in.
But I like to win anything I think I can win.
Okay.
So it's like, if I've only played pickleball 5 times, but if I think I can beat you, I'm going to want to beat you.
Okay. I felt that tone of voice come back in right away.
And it's horrible.
But I see you too as your main identity as a mother.
Yeah.
You know, and I know you're crushing it with your candles, but I still, for your self-identity, for what it's worth, it's like, you're an amazing mom. Your children are awesome. We have Jake at our house on a regular basis, and I love that kid, man. He's just a great young man. He's not a child. Yeah. He's going to be a leader in his own right, and I think that's good parenting, right? We don't want to raise kids. We want to raise healthy, strong adults.
Yeah.
What would be some of your parenting advice that maybe would benefit people that are busy entrepreneurs but don't want to give that up? Or maybe their kids are going through different phases and they need to change their parenting style.
You know what? I always thought, I kind of had the mindset, say yes as much as possible. But when it comes to character issues, that's where I draw the line. Mm. Like, if I can say yes, I say yes. But if it's character or something really important, it's a hard no. Mm-hmm. So I would say that. And then just like when I'm with them, be present. And carve out time. Like, anytime, like, it's so funny. I talk to my kids every day, even though they're in college, but I talk to them. And I could be super, super busy, but I will stop what I'm doing and talk to them, you know, because I can't get that back.
Right.
And so I want them to always feel like, I don't want them to feel like, oh, my mom's a workaholic, even though I probably am. You know, like, when I'm with them, I want to be with them.
But I think that's important for people listening to know, is you can be pulling tons of hours, but if you're just present when you're with them, or you're present when you're having the conversation, not that you're looking away or answering the wrong question because you didn't hear them completely finish the sentence, like, that's huge. And kids know that, right?
Yeah.
Because you only get to raise them once.
Yeah, exactly.
And where your children are, which is college, it's the work has been done, and either you have that relationship or you don't.
Yeah.
Right? So for younger people, I think kids spell love, T-I-M-E.
Yeah.
And you've got to be with them in that time. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to be intention-filled, right?
Yeah. And I think no matter what, my kids would say that they feel very loved.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure I have a ton of flaws, but they felt supported and loved.
Yeah. I know that to be true for sure. And they're awesome people to be around. Isn't it cool when you raise
I just love them.
They're little awesome humans, and then they become your friends later in life, and it's just like, that's like, if I do nothing else right, I want to do that right. You know,
so I would feel like a failure if my kids turned out like not good people.
You're on the opposite end of the spectrum, and that's why I'm asking you your expertise, because you've clearly done it right. You mentioned faith. How important is that to you?
Very. It's the foundation of kind of how I live my life. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's foundational.
And you mentioned integrity earlier, and I know this about you. Those two things intertwine, right? Like, whether someone knows it or not, you know it. Mm-hmm. Like, whether someone's going to see it or catch it, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to me, that goes back to, why do I want to double down on myself? Because I know who I am.
Yeah.
Right? And I've had these character checks. I know who I am. I don't know everybody else that I initially meet, but I know me. I know the fabric of what I am.
Yeah.
And for that reason, when you're living in integrity, it's easy to want to bet on yourself, right? Because you know what you're made of. Was there a point in your life where you kind of found that out a little bit? Maybe you were tested, maybe you were challenged, and you found out early in life what your integrity was and maybe how that was a little different.
You know what? I think it's something that has grown in me as I've matured, and the importance of it has grown. It's so funny because if I were to describe my husband, that's one of my favorite qualities of him. He's like a man of integrity.
Mm.
And I feel like in this world, it actually stands out when you have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it super attractive in people and kind of like a deal breaker if it's not. So I just feel like it's something that's, it's grown in importance. And just like, if you can't trust people, you know,
I've heard it said in business, trust is the currency of the future. And evidence of that is social media, where you have Google and Yelp and places like that where people will then review businesses.
Yeah.
I don't know many businesses that have been around for 7 years or 10 years or even 5 years who maybe don't have a couple of blemishes or scars. But again, going back and reviewing those and what's true and what can I learn from this and where can I grow, those are really important questions. But I also think, you know, having that understanding that as you are going through with your business, there's going to be things that just happen.
Yeah.
Having integrity as a person and as a parent also means you have to be able to apologize to your kids.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Mom isn't perfect. Dad isn't perfect. And I've heard this in other interviews that, you know, up to the age of 12, it's essential that you apologize so that they know how to do that themselves. Or after the age of 12, children really have a tough time admitting fault within themselves. Mm-hmm. So is that something you've kind of been just inherently doing with your children?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think we expect that out of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like I find like someone could do something wrong. And if they're authentically apologetic, I'm like, no problem.
Right.
But if they're like double downing and lying or, you know, trying to justify why they did something wrong, then that's like, okay, no.
Yeah.
And I just even think like a customer, like if something happens and we did something and the product, you know, didn't act, you know, to be the first to say, you know what, I'm so sorry, you know, let me send you something, you know, and just that customer service just like goes back to like, how do you want to be treated and to treat people, you know, that way.
I love that. I think what's key about that is how you're treating the people around you inevitably becomes your own environment.
Yeah.
If you're toxic to the people around you, you're going to find yourself in a toxic environment. So it comes back to you really quickly.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're really good to people and you open your heart, not to the point that you don't have boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm hearing you say too, right? Like, hey, there's a point at which I just go, that's a negative email. I'm just not going to do that. Cancel. Yeah. But within that, then you're creating that environment, which is probably why your business is just growing and growing. You're going to add these other layers to it because you get to do that. What is one thing that you've been thinking about maybe that you haven't shared publicly? So you mentioned perfumes and soaps with Santa Fog. What's one thing that's just kind of been ruminating that you're like, do I go there? I love the fact that you have pets.
I know. I don't know if I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I think I'm going to keep it to myself a little longer.
Good. Do it. So then what we'll do is, so what we'll do is at the end of this interview, we're going to put links and bios where people can find you, find out more about what's going on. What is the website where they can find products?
Sandandfoghome.com.
Sand and Fog Home. There's that word again, .com, because it wasn't just Sand and Fog Candles, right?
Yep.
And what would be, if someone is listening and they've never purchased a product, what would be like a starter thing you would say, hey, this is a good spot to jump in, and this is really popular for a scent or smell?
I would just say get one of the 12-ounce candles, and depending, you can go, there's like scent classifications, like if you like earthy, or if you like citrus, or if you like vanillas. And so you can sort by that and then sort bestsellers within, you know, what you, like I like citrus, so, you know, but people like earthy. So sort on our website and it'll tell you what the bestsellers are.
Love it. And is there an orange anywhere in the palette on your website?
There are, because we listen to our customers and some customers love color.
Right.
But we just wanted to give them the option if they don't, like I don't, that they could buy white. So yeah, we actually have lots of colors. We have lots of lids, but there it's we try and have something for everybody.
What I found interesting, because I looked at the website and saw that you had orange when you said that earlier, I go, maybe I want to bring that back. But evidence of that, that's a perfect illustration that you listen to people.
Yeah.
Not your favorite color, but hey, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Right? Drop the ego. Your ego is not your amigo.
Yeah.
Drop the ego, and there it is on the website. So when you said that earlier, I go, oh, this is just an indication that you live it, right? It's not about you. It's about the customer, and if that's what they want, then that's what we have. Final advice in particular for, I'm going to say, female entrepreneurs. For my daughter, Sailor, in Georgia, what would be some advice for them listening to their heart or going into business and doing things on their own? What would be some words of encouragement?
I would just say know yourself. Like, I have a daughter and she's doesn't like stress. So I would say don't be an entrepreneur. You know, like kind of know who you are, and follow your heart, and just know that if you do something entrepreneurial, if it's successful, you'll probably work a lot more than you thought you would. So do something that you love, but believe in yourself. Like I feel like a lot of skills that women have, I do feel like women are made differently than men, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of skill sets that women have that really work for entrepreneurs. So bet on yourself, but also know yourself. You know, it's not for everybody.
Right. And whatever skill sets you have that are different, that's your superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think many things that would be labeled as an imperfection or a blemish or, dare I say it, a handicap. Handicaps become superpowers all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a shift in perspective and you go, no. Your OCD, your willingness to never give up, you're just relentless. That's a superpower. You know, your ability to let things roll off you and not care so much. Well, that's your superpower. You know, really when you dive into it, like, don't change who you are, yeah. know who you are, right. and go, and this is why it's going to help me. Because any complaints are like water off a duck's back. I just don't care. Yeah. Or I'm OCD, and every time somebody says that, I'm going to make it so that I perfect the product because I'm listening right. all the time. Like, just go with it, right? It's just yep. one of those, like, trust your gut, but yep. you have to know who you yeah. are. I think that's a yeah. big message.
Yeah.
Anything I should have asked you? Any final thoughts?
It's so funny because I was going to say, that's one thing that I would say if you're doing it. One question we used to ask everybody is, like when we didn't know anything about candles, we'd say, we don't even know what we don't know. What should mm-hmm. we be asking you that we haven't asked? We would ask that to everybody. And I just felt like overall, people want to help you. Like yeah. overall, people are nice. They want to help you. And we always would get another nugget that we would learn that we didn't learn. So
I love it.
I like that.
I love it. And just be willing to listen.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen. Yeah.
You know, depending on how much time you have in a day, if you humble yourself long enough, everybody has a lesson to teach
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And again, that's a time thing. But in a perfect world, everybody has something to teach you. So humble yourself. And certainly when you're in business, humble yourself to your clients. That's essential. Yeah. Right. And it's so much easier to provide what they want than to sell them what they need.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, yeah. you know, what do they want? And if what they want aligns with what they need and you can provide that, it's game over. It ends selling and it creates buying.
Yeah.
Right. How important is the buyer's mindset for you?
It's everything. Mm-hmm. You know, without the customer. And it's so easy. Like sometimes I think like you could easily start discarding things like, oh, we're so big. But it's like you're not. That's why you're in business.
Right.
You know, even when my daughter worked in like Athens West and she'd be like, oh my gosh, these people come. I'm like, honey, this place wouldn't be in business without the customer.
Right.
You know, like you can never lose sight of the customer.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned this earlier, but I think it's worth kind of the double click is relationship capital. When COVID happened and everything shut down and you were able to call a supplier and he just said, hey, been around for a while, this is okay. And then you have your record year because everybody's home. Yeah. They're not going to work. They're burning more candles. Relationship mm-hmm. capital, just being good to the people all around you. Right?
Yeah. And what's great was during that time, we had such good relationships with our buyers and their bosses that they were calling us saying, Jill, the second things open up, we'll start buying. You know, because they, you know, we made it easy to do business. They like doing business mm-hmm. with us. Right. And so it's like they have limited dollars. Who do they go to? They go to the people, you know, who make it easy to do business and they know it's going to sell. So it's that relationship like that helped that I knew that like, okay, I'm getting calls from them every 2 weeks. As soon as things open up, they're going to buy our products. Yep. So that relationship capital is just so important.
Huge. And I'm sure, and I don't know their names, but I'm sure there were companies that went away during COVID. Yeah. In every industry, people lost mm-hmm. businesses. I don't wish mm-hmm. that on anybody. But I think the people that really thrived were the people that were good to the people around them, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's obviously becoming a theme in this interview is just being good to your buyers, being good to your clients. When COVID happened and the world went upside down, all of a sudden you were their number one, right? And I don't know where you were prior to that, but it sounds like you were their top priority. And when things open up, Jill, we're buying again. And Jill, we're coming. And so that, to be top of mind and to be front and center, that's almost like the culmination of goodwill.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. Yeah. Our children went to the same high school, Georgia and Luke, and then also my Luke and Jake, and just having our kids be in town together and play. Like, okay. You've got an amazing family. It's always been fun. Oh, it's just been fun. But secretly, watching your company over the last 7 years explode. I mean, you were in my house multiple times when we were going through the design. I was super stoked to sit down and do this interview. Honestly, for the last couple of years, I just go, I know she's busy. We'll wait for the right time. And,
sweet.
Well, just to sit here and do this, it's even more than I thought because you're super sharp and your tone of voice, I think, gives it away. So if somebody were to go back and listen to this, like when you're on point in your business, it's like you're a driver. I could see that. But when we're talking about family, and you can just feel that energy come back down to that loving space. We talk about your clients. It's the same tone of voice with your children. Like, you could just feel that love vibe with you. And competitive, I think to you, maybe I'm wrong, but I think to you just means being your best.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
if you know you can beat someone, yeah. it's not about the opponent. If you know you can, yeah. then you expect more of yourself.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with them.
That's right.
Yeah. It's that's all right. me. It's like, if I think I can do it, I should do it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think good business advice for anybody, just be better than you used to be last year.
Yeah.
The game is not you versus anyone else. That no. usually steals joy in the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if it's you being better than you used to be and you doing a gut check and going, you know what, I could beat this person in pickleball, then it makes you dig a little deeper. Yeah. And so I love that drive from you because you balance those energies really well. And you mentioned female energy, which is different than male energy, and they're complementary. You know, again, I don't think people need to turn themselves inside out to be a female CEO. You can run it with the beautiful energy that you're gifted with and just play to that. That is your superpower, right? But don't change yourself because you think you got to be this
hard ass.
Hard ass, put this tough front up, even be tough to your kids. Like, don't do that. You know, just know who you are. And I think that that spiritual guidance that you have is really foundational, but it comes through in everything that you do. And how beautiful that you broke records in COVID because you were the nicest person in the industry.
Thank you.
You were the sweetest.
I don't know about that, but no, thank you.
I think it comes through. Okay, last and final thoughts. Yeah. Anything else we should have talked about? Anything we should have mentioned?
No, I think we covered it. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. If we can give a shout out to your two partners, tell me, what is like one beautiful thing about each one of your two partners?
Okay, Elisa, she is a friend to everybody. Like, she never met a stranger. Mm. The consummate extrovert. Like, so she does sales. Like, you know, she doesn't like computers, but the girl can talk to anybody, build relationships. So that's great. Christy is our detailed person. She does logistics. Mm. And so, you know, she takes her time. She's methodical. Like, I could be like onto 12 different things. She's on the one. She does perfect at her job.
Love it. Love it. And I know that complimentary style that you have fits in perfectly. And also sounds like fun people to travel with.
Yes.
Like to be around.
We have a good time.
That's good.
Yeah.
So the sisters, Sand and Fog, you're doing amazing things. Keep it up. We will have to circle back somewhere in the future when you cross that $100 million mark.
Okay.
We are cheering from you. I just think with the way you live your life, more money to you is going to equal more good to people in other places. I know that to be true. Yeah. So continued success, and let's check back in the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jill. So if you have the opportunity, get yourself a candle from Sand and Fog. Look, you can see Jill's brilliance. You can also see her heart. That's a heart of gold. And whatever area I've known her in, she's been a high performer. As a mom, she's got some of the coolest kids in town. They're at my house frequently. As a partner and a spouse, she's got a super cool relationship with her husband. He's one of the coolest people I know. And certainly when it comes to business, she's rocking it. I wouldn't say this in her presence because she has a no profanity rule. But Jill kicks ass. I can say it because she's not around. She kicks ass and she's doing it in a monster way. She does consistent give back. She does mentoring for younger people. And I'm always of the opinion that, look, if you got good grades in a broken school system model, I don't know that that's our highest mark for education anymore. There are people that have done really well outside the school system because it was developed over 200 years ago to create good factory workers. Now, if your children want to be factory workers and you're on board with that, God bless you. However, if you want to do things that aren't in the traditional mode and you want to have an entrepreneur, someone who runs a business, then you need to expose them to people like Jill. Selfishly, that's why I did. I have two daughters. And I want them to have positive, powerful role models in business. And while they have been raised by the greatest mom in the world, my wife, the truth is there are people in business that they'll just resonate with and other people that you won't. And I think Jill is a great female role model. She has phenomenal energy. She's super giving and she does it her way. And I want there to be some boundaries around how people choose to live their life in an entrepreneurial spirit. So given the opportunity to sit down with her a second time, I would gladly do that. Without question, I want to do that. But I always respected her space as a patient in my practice. And I never really wanted to ask these questions. And that's what the podcast gives me selfishly, is an opportunity to kind of cross some of these lines politely and just pull out the gold that she shared. I hope you got some gold. She's a phenomenal person. If you didn't already get that across camera, let me just say that she is just world class in every way. One of my wife's best friends, her son, best friends with my son. They had a chance to work there this summer, and she treats everyone like family. What you see is what you get. And to me, that's the payoff of doing these podcasts. So if you liked it, then I'm going to ask you, the payoff for you would be drop a positive comment down below. Don't forget to like, follow, and hit the notifications button. So when our next episode drops, you get the notification. You don't miss it because there are some sleeper people. And maybe you didn't know Jill's name, but you won't forget that she took a 5,000 candle idea, sold them all out, and has now turned that into $100 million in revenue as of the year 2024. She is kick-ass. We have great respect for Jill and her family, and I just want to say a heartfelt thank you.